Welcome to Bravo Critics, Roni Edition. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky. Join us on this journey to relive the glory days of the Real Housewives of New York City.
In 2022, we are watching one season each month with a fresh set of eyes.
Here, it's always turtle time, where we're going to mention it all while making it nice.
So grab a drink and hang with us. Everyone's a critic. Welcome back, Bravo Critics. Arielle and Ricky here with the final episode for our Roni rewatch. It is December of 2022, and we're here.
Say it isn't so.
We are here, and we made it through season 12.
Barely. It's funny because, like, at the beginning of the month, I was like, you know what? Maybe we should just tack on season 13 to the end of this with January. And then, like, as I was watching this season, I was like, I don't think I can do it.
No, I will say, I think that for me to watch season 13 would make me completely dislike Leah. And I still don't completely dislike her yet, where we ended on season 12. And I think we just need to I need to remember her as she was there and just put a bow on it.
And see, it's crazy because I liked Leah the very first time she was on, but I don't know if it's because I remember season 13, but I just didn't enjoy her this time. And I've said this before, I sort of do feel like she's like one of the first steps in the show, like really starting to decline. Like, it's just something about, you know, I don't know if like what they're doing is the smartest decision by having a young Roni essentially in an old Roni, but it did sort of feel like she didn't fit in because she was so young, but not in the same way that like Tinsley, you know.
I really agree. I feel though that Tinsley had a real friendship with Sonia and so did Dale, so since that was organic, it meshed because the feelings were like real between Sonia and Tinsley. And then the rest of the girls knew that Tinsley was a real factor in Sonia's life. Like, she literally lived in Sonia's townhouse with her when she came back. And she was the it girl of like New York. So she made sense, right? In a little sister type of way. Leah is just like, she got plucked and just put into outer space with these 60 and 70 year olds, as she said.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, I don't know. I didn't dislike her as much watching her this time as I thought I was going to, but I think my distaste for her really began in season 13 with her and that Heather stuff. So,
yeah. And at the reunion, they end up revealing that even though Bethany didn't know Leah, that Bethany had provided a list of like 30 people to Bravo, people she thought should be on the show. And apparently Leah was on that list.
Yeah, I remember that. And
I wonder who else was on it.
I do too. And why is Bethany giving lists to Bravo? But I mean, and then we found out this season that Bethany ditched the cast like 2 days before they were set to start filming. And all the ladies found out from like TMZ.
Yeah, and they were not happy about it. Like, I like how Ramona's reaction was basically mine. Like, do we really have to talk about this? Like, I'm bored.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing was, I know that Dorinda was a little shocked. I know Luann was kind of pissed off. I don't think Tinsley really cared one way or the other. You know, watching this season again made me feel so bad for Tinsley. I felt so bad for her. Like, she's just like a lost little puppy soul. And I hope that wherever she's at, which is actually in Georgia, we know she's in Georgia now. I hope that wherever she's at in her life, that she has found a little bit more peace and a little bit more security. Because even them saying, like, when she left the show, that she felt like herself again, like the old Tinsley, I was like, oh, that's your confidence? Because it's still not even close to being where it should be.
I know. I feel so bad for her. She's just such like a damaged little bird or something. Like, she just needs like some extra help and guidance. And like, you know, she has a great mom and her mom's like always there to support her. But I feel like she's just struggling a lot. And like, you see a lot of that with like the whole way that she's like dealing with this relationship with Scott.
Yeah, everybody's like a crutch for her, and I need her to be okay to stand on her own two feet alone. But, you know, I mean, it seems like maybe she's doing better. She's holding out on Bravo. She's holding out for the money, for sure. And she's in Georgia, so obviously it's Sutton let it slip.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool if they did some sort of, like, another, like, Southern Charm spinoff that was, like, in Augusta and she was on it.
Oh, that'd be so good. Could you imagine her and, like, Madison LaCroix or, like, Lover each other? There were Naomi. That'd be so interesting. Even throw Paige DeSorbo's in there. Shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so we had Leah, the new housewife. She just seems a little off. Like, she just doesn't fit. But she's got a 12-year-old daughter. She's a hustler. She has been arrested. She got punched by a cop and had her teeth knocked out. That's how she got $75,000 to start her Married to the Mob. So it's like, kudos to you. At least you turned that, you know, shit into something good. But
she did look really rough in that mugshot, though.
Oh my god! And she like took these ladies to like a Russian spas that are like still being approved by the health department and stuff. Like, she is so just what does not belong here.
Like I said, I feel like she'd be really good on like a show that is like a more like youthful show, but like she's just so different.
Yeah, I don't know. And then just the way they introduced her and everything, it just didn't seem real to me. But they started the season with Dorinda throwing like an end of the party summer. And so, you know, I always love a Dorinda party. She always does everything so good.
She makes it nice.
Always makes it nice. So that was fun. But, you know, literally the only thing I care about is Bluestone Manor.
I know. And I mean, when we eventually get there this season, I was like, oh, this is the last time we went to Bluestone Manor on Roni because Dorinda leaves after this season.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like a lot. So I think this is what we're going to call Luann's redemption season, because the last couple seasons, I mean, maybe the last three, have been so wild for her. And so this season picks up where we get to see Sonia and Luann kind of really repair their relationship. We eventually get to, you know, Dorinda and Luann being at a great, solid place again. But, you know, throughout this season, they still have their bumps in the road. But I think that more so has to do with Dorinda as opposed to Dorinda and Luann. You know, like the issues that they had were really, I mean, they had their moments. Yeah. Again, at the Berserkshires. But
I just felt like she was in a better place this season because, I mean, you know, the season also opens with, like, her and Sonia meeting in the park, and she had just gotten her, well, she kept calling it parole, but she meant,
her house arrest?
No, not house arrest. What's the other word that begins with the P? Not parole, but
probation?
Probation, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
She kept calling it parole, though, and it's like, okay, you weren't in prison. You went to jail for one night.
Yeah, you're correct. Those are two different things, now that you specify that.
But yeah, I like that she, like, you know, she sort of, I don't know if she, like, took a look at how she was acting last season, too, but, like, also, like, once it had to stop being about her sobriety, she wasn't as on as much of, like, a high horse.
Yeah, and I also think that with that came her working through her issues. And so that brought her to a better place emotionally, mentally, physically. She's in great shape. I mean, Luann hasn't looked, even when they, because, you know, like, halfway through the season, we can tell COVID hits because they're doing their at-home confessionals. And Luann looks fantastic.
I know. Well, my favorite part about her background, she has like a picture of herself off to the side. Like,
yeah.
In her background, I was like, I love you.
Yeah, she looks, I mean, it was one of her older modeling pictures, right?
Yeah, it's like some headshot.
Yeah. And then I loved her confessional outfit with the navy, with the diamonds. I mean, she just looked stunning. But Luann is a tall drink of water. She really is a stunning woman. I didn't really appreciate how beautiful she was maybe the first time around, but I'm seeing her evolve over the years, and she really has gotten better with age. Ramona too.
Well, because even like this all was filmed like two, 3 years ago, and like I think she looks even better now than she looked then, and she looked better then than she did 10 years ago.
They all do. I mean, Dorinda, Sonia, I mean, they all look fantastic. Every year they just get better. So I thought that
they did have sort of a weird haircut at the beginning of this season. Like, it's like they went like too short or something. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was a little short now that you say that.
And but she was doing more of like the dark undertones, and
I laughed at her the other day. She was on doing her show on Sirius, and she was like, yeah, for one moment, one time I did a ponytail, but people didn't like that. So I just stick with my short do. I was like, oh, I remember that reunion when she did that. But you touched on Sonia and Luann in the park. And I thought that that was a really good moment because like Sonia had to kind of shake Lou and be like, girl, don't you remember what happened? Like, you kind of treated us all like shit. You were not nice to us. You were holier than thou on your high camel. And, you know, you have some repairs to make and some apologies to make it nice. So I thought that that was a little humbling of an experience.
Well, I just love their friendship that Sonya can actually have that conversation with her, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're really, really friends. So yeah,
and I still cannot wait for their new show to come out.
But you know what? Oh my God, me too. Me too. But you know, another thing that I really saw this season that's like upsetting is we really got to see our bestie Dorinda like really start to struggle because she's, I don't know, and I don't think that she's doing much better even now. And that was a couple years ago, which makes me sad for her. Like, I want her to be in a good place. And I feel like maybe she feels like she's in a limbo place. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with our girl, but
I think that, like, I think she needs some like good solid news about the show, and that might help a little bit. But like, it was sort of interesting because at the reunion, you know, they were talking about how she was like, it was a rough year for me. I had the flood in the basement. John and I broke up. There was something else too.
Well, she had to throw. She had to throw everything of Richard's away, everything she never looked at. Exactly. Like, that has got to be devastating. And I heard her say at one point, like, I put it away because I couldn't look at it because it was too hard. And now I'm never going to get to look at it. Like, our whole life was underwater. I had to have it hauled away. I couldn't even fucking look at it, you know? And I don't even think that the women understood the severity of how much, because she probably felt guilt about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she did, especially because it's like there could have been some stuff that, like, she probably would have liked to have given to his kids and stuff like that, too. And just like things that you would want to hold on to forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I always hope that, like, well, you know, maybe, you know, when she says everything, it wasn't everything and she was able to get like some special stuff.
Yeah, I hope. But yeah, I mean, and then, you know, like we got to see her go to his grave. And like Sonia was making weird faces, which I didn't like. I don't know. I feel it was a rough season for our girl. And there was one moment particularly.
Every single, like, there's such a weird fight between Sonia and Dorinda about the death of her husband and the divorce of Sonia and her husband. Like, those two will never get over. The fact that Sonia uses the Morgan name, the fact that that Dorinda talks about her dead husband a lot, like,
it's different though. You cannot compare death and divorce.
Exactly.
Divorce could feel like a death for some, and you do have to go through a grieving process. But I really just don't think it's different than finding out your significant other has cancer and has a certain amount of time to live, and you are watching them slowly die in front of you, you know, which is what Dorinda had to do. So that, and there was, what I was going to say is there was one particular moment that made me really like feel so sad for her. Like, I actually got a little like teary eyed, but she had said something like, I'm doing everything and nothing well. And I'm like, holy fuck, do I relate to that? Like, I'm doing everything, but I'm not doing like, sometimes I feel like I only give 10% to like every little thing I have to touch on because I've got to give my attention to so much shit, like, you know, and that's how she's feeling. And I feel bad for her.
I know, because you can just tell that she's feeling defeated. But It is just so strange, though, that she chooses just to take it out on Tinsley, though.
Okay, but well, how? Okay, before we get into that, there was one moment with Dorinda and Hannah that was really sweet, where Hannah did kind of build her mom up. Remember when they were like in the deli and Dorinda was talking about all the sauces?
Yeah.
And, which is hilarious. I was like, oh, fun fact. And she really built her mom up and said like how much of an inspiration, how strong she was. And I thought that was a really sweet moment. And I think that Dorinda needs to hold on to those things. Like, and I think that's what she takes pride in so much as Hannah.
And absolutely. I mean, just the way that she, if you've read her book, she talks about Hannah a lot. If you listen to our interview with her, just the way that she talks about her daughter, you can just, I mean, obviously that's like just a relationship that moms have, especially with like an only child. Like,
but they've been through a lot together.
They've been through a lot together. Divorce, moving like around the world, death.
Yeah. It's a lot of transitions, you know, dating again.
Oh, because I just remembered now, one of the other things that Dorinda listed at the reunion is I guess her dog also died.
Yeah, we saw that. Yes,
yeah,
we saw
that. I forgot about that.
So sad. So it's just really, it was, but Dorinda started on Tinsley, like we said in our season 11 episode. She started on Tinsley on the whole Scott train at the end of last season. We saw her kind of aiming, and she's fine-tuned her target, and she is ready to pull that trigger, and that bitch don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't miss either.
Bitch went to war, and she served it to her warm.
It's just something else. Like when they went out for that wine tasting, and like she just laid into her so much, because she's like, are you with Scott or are you not? And she's like, it doesn't matter.
Oh my God. We got a lot of good. There was more. I realized we got a few things this season. Like we got I served it to her warm. I forgot about that scene at the winery. We got Sonia peeing in the cornfields or wherever in the wine vineyards. But we also got, again, another Hamptons trip that they started with at the beginning of the season when Luann got put in the lower level.
I know, her in these rooms.
She's like, it smells like dog pee and there's you have a spider problem. And
it's just funny because like now it's like she's almost become as bad as like Ramona
with
these rooms. Like ever since she got married, that's when it all started. Because remember, yeah. It was like, I just got married. Why don't I have the best room? I just got divorced. Why don't I have the best room? I just got back from rehab.
Oh, I went to jail. I don't have the best room. I went to rehab. I don't have the best room. Yeah, okay. I mean, really, the woman, you are correct. Ding, ding, ding. And she was really something else. And so we got to remember, Luann also started the season sober.
Yep. And we got to see her like get that first sip again. I love when she's like, oh, it's so good.
They're like, it's vodka. And she was like, ooh, it tastes so good. And then she goes for a second sip. So we get to see that. So we get to see sober Luann at the beginning. And then when she starts drinking and partying with the girls, we get a different feeling from her. But yeah, we did get to see Dorinda beat the shit out of Tinsley. And that was really hard to watch. And we only got Tins for like 10 episodes.
I know. It felt like it was quicker than I remembered.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, as you know, spoiler alert, if anybody doesn't know, it doesn't work out between Tinsley and Scott. They got engaged. So he proposed to her in front of like carolers at like in front of like Water Tower Place or something downtown Chicago at Christmas time in December. They were engaged for a little bit. They lived in the John Hancock penthouse for a while. And then when they separated, she basically fell off the face of the earth, and now she's living in Georgia, but they are not together anymore. And so I found him the other day. I was Googling, I was looking like, what is Scott up to? But he's a DB.
Really is. And I mean, Dorinda did try to warn Tinsley, but it's like, you just can't be that kind of aggressive with someone over that sort of thing. It's like, let the girl live her life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
To get like angry about it, not just like, you know, trying to give advice and being like, you're making dumb decisions. Instead, she's like, you stupid bitch. You said you weren't going to date her anymore.
It was so weird. And then you
spent the weekend with him in Chicago.
Yeah. Like, didn't you go to Milwaukee? Like, so weird. The whole thing was so weird. I don't know. Why was she? I think she just needed to deflect. But then we later find out that John asked Scott for money. So it makes sense. Dorinda's never going to admit it. Tinsley has got her southern little class that she's just not going to spill the deets. And that's where it's going to stay. And
I'm John so mad that they only gave us that clip like a year later. Like, why did they cut that scene?
I don't know.
And also, like, it had to, because at the reunion, they were talking about it and they were like, it was so bad that the producers were considering making Tinsley stay somewhere else because they didn't want her in the same house as Dorinda.
That's crazy.
I know. It's like, what was happening that night?
Maybe that was like Bravo execs call to like protect Dorinda and not put her on blast like that, because maybe they thought she was having a fucking breakthrough, not breakdown. Who knows? But we got a new friend of this season, Elise.
I'd rather watch paint dry for the rest of my life than have to watch one episode with her again.
I just think of Elise and I just like see her snorting cocaine off some like random Wall Street girls like tits. That's like all I think of when I see Elise. She seems like that type of broad to me.
She just has that wild vibe.
Did you not expect those words to come out of my mouth just now? No, your face, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
She's just like, as if like you didn't season anything ever. Yeah. And you're just serving like cardboard. That's how bland she is. Even just the way she speaks, she's like, Ramona, didn't you tell me that you were going to talk to Leah?
Yeah, she's just annoying. I don't like her. So we saw Barb didn't work. They at least had been in the background last season. And then this season we got from her, was this a season? Yes. Where she said to Sonia, you're just a trophy wife. And she's like, take that back. I don't shave my pussy.
Yeah.
So, you know,
there are a lot of random like good lines in this. And I mean, we also get like one like really good wild Hampton strip, because like, you know, they sort of teased up a little bit at the beginning what Leah's former drinking problem was like. And it's just like so dangerous if you have a drinking problem or had a drinking problem to be on one of these shows, especially Roni, because
they drink.
Those girls drink. And when they were at Ramona's house, it was just wild. But I love that she got Tinsley in on that too. Like, that was like a fun time with Tinsley in her last season.
Yeah, naked in the pool with Sonia, throwing tiki torches. And that's the thing. She also didn't just start drinking on Roni. She did say she had started like 6 or 9 months prior. I think she said 6 months prior to filming, she started drinking, but she had been sober for 9 years. And her daughter is 12, or was 12, which means, you know, her daughter was 3 when she quit drinking. So her whole life, she was a sober Nelly. And then now she's like getting rocked, and she does get rocked, and it's a little intense. But I mean, I don't know. And then what did we think about Ramona's relationship with Leah this season? That was also an interesting sitch.
It was just so weird, because it's like, I think Ramona did like Leah, but she definitely, I mean, it's sort of like what they did with Tinsley, but this was more like the bad child. Tinsley was more like the needy little princess child, and that's how they sort of treated her. But like, Leah was like the rebellious kid. One that was like always wanting to like call them out on their shit being offensive, and they're like, you're everything about you is just offensive.
I mean, she's got tattoos, so they already
have. I love when Dorinda says, if you forget her name, just bend her over.
Oh my god, I know. And so that we saw that Leah and Dorinda had that moment at the beginning, but they eventually get super close. Leah and Luann build a bond because they've both been arrested and had mugshots and both assaulted police officers. So they, you know, got along for that. And then obviously
Dorinda and Ramona are the only cast members at this point that haven't been arrested.
Carol's not on anymore.
Yeah.
Carol and Bethany, I was thinking. Yeah, you're right. And this cast, they are. Oh my god, Ramona. It's gonna be weird not having Ramona on Legacy. It really is.
It really will be. Like, this was, like, one of her worst seasons, for sure. I mean, she was already, like, being so cunty to Sonya and Dorinda last season. But just, like, even more so this year, like, dragging them out there to that...
Are you drunk?
Yeah. Dragging them out there to that, like, party planners thing and, like, all
the Instagram posts. I know. So, okay, wait. So... we have a situation where she has her 50 closest girlfriends where she has to throw the party for. So she basically wants this dude to do the free party planning for her, brings Sonya and Dorinda to pimp them out so they'll take pictures, ignores them completely, tells them, I know our birthdays are at the same time and we always do birthday parties together, but you guys are not part of this. It's me and my 50 closest friends. You're just allowed to be there. Like, oh my God. That was Ramona's storyline this season, her and her 50 closest friends. And how Sonya was like, if you don't shut the fuck up.
It's like, this is so we also got, like, when they were in the Hamptons, that's when they went to that one, like, huge mansion, and, like, the girls were all, like, so bored and behaving badly.
Well, that's where the I don't shave my pussy line came from. But then we also got to see Luann through a Halloween party this season too. And that's where, wait, no, that's not with the, yes, is that where the are you drunk? Yes, that's where, yeah. Ramona said to, and we got to see an appearance from our bestie, Jill.
Sonya was so drunk. Wasted.
Oh my God,
at this party. And, like, that was, like, the level of her wasted, like, for most of the season. Like,
but you know what made me laugh?
Doll, and she kept being, like, she was, like, poking at the ear. She's, like, up the ear, up the ass.
In the ear and up the rear, yeah. Is what she kept saying. And then she looked at Leah and goes, you're weird.
Yeah.
You're weird. I like you, but you're weird. Leah's like, what the fuck? But we got to see Jill Zarin, and Jill Zarin basically talked shit about Dorinda. So we got to see that kind of where that maybe might have ignited Dorinda not caring for Jill Zarin, because Jill made a comment that said, like, what is this? Is every party Dorinda rips somebody a new ass or something?
Yeah.
Or, like, yells at somebody. I didn't
really catch that the first time.
Yeah, me neither. So
what other parties is she talking about? Like, they don't invite her to that many parties for her to know. Like, she is doing that, but
she's there every season, so
yeah. But I love it. Like, Ramona, of course, is being a complete bitch and just ignoring her and asking if she's drunk, and that I love when Dorinda gives that toast.
Are you drunk? The way she says it. And then Ramona asks, are you drunk? Yeah. Yeah. And the Dorinda, you see Ramona just smirk. Just a tiny little smirk. And she's like, these fucking bitches. You know, and it's just, it was so, and Sonya's so wasted. And then she's like, Dorinda goes, you treat Sonya like shit. Sonya's like, yeah, Dorinda. Why she's shoving food. She's like, Ramona, you treat me like shit. Why are you so mean, Ramona? And she's just, like, eating all the food.
And just her, that voodoo doll, the costume made it even funnier. Like,
oh my gosh, she looked demonic, Ramona said, which is rich coming from Ramona and her crazy eyes.
But it's just like, seeing Jill at that party, I was like, she doesn't fit in with these women anymore.
No. And then Leah's like ripping the seafood tower apart. That was interesting.
And Luann's like, don't fuck with my seafood tower.
Ew, and then her hands, like, she was like, I need, and then they, like, pour vodka on her hands. They're like, this vodka kills it. But then Luann was pissed at Ramona because Ramona brought Missy, which is, we all know, Tom's ex-girlfriend. And I love the scene of Leah going, shots fired! Yeah. So she was rocked, though. We got to see her baby daddy. What's his name?
Rob,
yeah, we got to see him as a priest a few times throughout the season dressed up. But yeah, that was an interesting little party. So that was a good time.
Yeah, and then I was just happy to get to the Berkshires.
I know, me too. And you know, oh wait, but you know what? Before we got to the Berkshires, how did they do that? What did they go to the Berkshires for? Was it for Christmas? No, it was just, oh, because she remodeled it.
Yeah.
She wanted to show everybody.
It had to have been sometime in, like, November, I guess.
Yeah. Why wasn't it all Christmased out?
I don't know. I guess maybe because she just finished it. But, I mean, the updates that she did looked nice.
Beautiful. I loved it. I loved the great room. She did such a... it's like I almost forgot that it didn't look like that before that. You know, when they showed it, I'm like, oh, wait, what did it look like before?
Well, and I kind of thought about that when I saw the fish room last season. I was like, it is a little bit more rough than I remember. And it's not that it's rough, it's just not updated.
Yeah, it was just not as fine.
Paint color from 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it did look a little bit more childlike as opposed to now being more like, because when Eva stayed there, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how I remember the room looking.
Yeah, because I like that, like, wallpaper she put in there. It looks so nice.
Yeah, no, it's really pretty. I love the one, I'm just taking it back to, like, three seasons ago now, where Carol and Jules are in the closet, and then, like, overhearing somebody's conversation, and Carol's like, this is a sign of wealth when they wallpaper the insides of their closets in their pantry. I'm like, I fucking love that. She said,
yeah.
But yes, we got to go to the Berkshires, which is our favorite place in the world, also known as the Berserkshires. No offense, Dorinda. We got to see Ramona be a straight bitch to Elise. These bitches were drinking full glasses of grapefruit vodka. They were fucking rocked.
Well, because I remember Ramona brought that breathalyzer too.
Oh my God. And then Luann got so drunk. This is when her, then, like, the whole Sonia.
Were they only there for one night? Because Heather was there, too. But Heather wasn't there when that whole big fight between.
I think it was two nights. Because I think.
The night's when the bigger blowout happened, right?
Yeah, because the first night was when they all got fucking. I think they might have been there for three nights. I think the first night was when they got all fucking wasted. I think the second night. Oh, no. It was two nights. The second night was the nice dinner where Leah brought the guy from Red Lion in.
Yeah.
So that was the night before when they got wasted. Leah and Luann went to the Red Lion Inn and had drinks afterwards. And that's when Leah met the boyfriend or the bartender. Then the next morning, they blamed it on Rosé. And then they went about their day, and that's when they all made up and stuff. And then later that night's when they did the dinner party, and Heather Thompson graced herself with our presence, or graced us with her presence.
I feel like, were they just trying to throw anything at the show to see, like, what might stick? Like, we're getting Jill Zarin appearances. I know she still pops up a lot, but it's like, we're getting her, we're getting Heather.
I know. That whole thing was weird. But we got to see, so Dorinda and Luann was really drunk and got mean to Sonia, saying like, I don't need you in my show. I don't need you, you bitch. She was that might have been one of the second drunkest times we've ever seen Luann on this show. I did not realize how fucked up Luann was.
Yeah, and it's just like, I know a lot of it's just because, like, this is, like, I think the first time that she's really, like, doing it up since she's been sober.
Right, but so low tolerance.
She was so wasted.
And like, then, like, she's crying, so mean to Sonia, though.
The fake crying up in her room when she's, like, throwing all of her stuff in her Giovanni bag. I was like, okay, Luann, you are not crying. She's like,
That was
okay. Stop it.
I actually think that she really was crying, but she was just so fucking drunk that she was just like that dramatic. Like, that's how I feel, like, in her soul, it hurt her. And that's why she was just like, like, she was so fucked up. She didn't even know what bag she was going to when she was throwing, like, trying to pack. I was like, this fucking drunken. And then it did kind of look like Dorinda slammed her into the door, but Dorinda just, like, touched the door. Like, she pushed the door.
I like it. It almost felt like Dorinda was, like, looking for a reason to, like, start fighting with someone, because, like, she had no skin in that game. But, like, as soon as Sonia was, like, upset,
you want me to protect you?
She was like, do you want me to be your warrior? And she's
your,
like,
your warrior?
She was like, yes. And she's like, I'll do it. And then she, like,
Leah's, you know, like, no. Leah's like, what's happening?
I just love when she comes around the corner into that room where Luann is, and she's like, she just, like, lays right into her.
I know. And Luann's like, wait, what the fuck's going on? Like, why are you yelling at me? Yes. And I have to tell you, though, not once, not twice, maybe three or four or five times, Leah was the voice of reason. And that's fucking wild.
There's something real messed up when that happens.
And she acknowledges that. She's like, what? You guys, this is not what I'm used to. This is a Twilight Zone. Y'all are like my mother's age. This is crazy. So you know what made me sad was seeing the fight between Dorinda and Luann, though, because they really got to, like, a good place. And then they just had a drunken moment. They had nothing to do with them. And it blew into such like an aggressive moment. And I think that that moment might have contributed to Dorinda also getting put on pause because of like the door slamming and the aggression and in the face. And I mean, it was just a lot.
It sort of was. And I kind of forgot. And, you know, I still love my girl.
Abby.
And like, there were so many of these moments where I'm like, this was iconic. I don't care.
Like, yeah, I mean, so
I love Tinsley too, and I hate seeing her rip apart Tinsley, but like when she's doing this stuff, it's like, it's just good television.
And Tinsley just like squeals, and I would probably be like, shut up, Tinsley. Like, you know, so
she almost gives Dorinda too much satisfaction.
She gives the ammo.
Yeah.
She's like, let me put the bullets in the gun, let me load it for you, so and let me help take aim so you can know. It's crazy. So I mean, and then like Elise, I felt like that was so a needy situation for her. And then when she sat on Ramona's lap and was like, Ramona's like, oh, well, you're kind of heavy.
I know.
So I thought that was good too. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the Berkshires is always iconic, but this season was a little slow because after that, then we hit Ramona's birthday when they come back and they have the party with the 50 of her closest friends. And then
and everyone has to pitch in their $100 to buy her
Gucci bag.
A Gucci bag, which at the reunion, Leah says is the only real one Ramona owns. And she's like, if you've had one of these bags, you wouldn't act like that. And I was watching, I was like, has she ever watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Like those ladies, anytime there's a bag, like they lose their shit.
I mean, Kyle will go crazy over a Birkin, but it's
like,
I know that's so funny. It's true. But I do feel that, well, we got to see Ramona break the fourth wall at her birthday party because she got so pissed off about Leah dancing, who was doing this. Leah's ass was out, though.
Yeah, I don't think she was wearing underwear.
Yeah, and then, well, no, she wasn't. She said that she was wearing a nude bodysuit that was sewn into the dress. So, no, she wasn't wearing a underwear. The bodysuit was the underwear. So, her ass was covered, but her dress was completely up over her ass. But Ramona's sister was a straight bitch, and I loved when Leah was like, she said, what did she say? She's like, bitch, I elevate this shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're bringing it down or whatever. Yeah. So I thought that.
That's also like we get Sonia like stomping on that mirror on the table. Like
Dorinda has glass in her foot from it.
Yeah. Because here's the thing is like it almost felt like when Leah rolled up on the scene, Sonia was like, you know what? I got to take this shit to the next level because this girl's not my new competition.
She's like, let's turn up, bitch. Let's see. So, yeah. And then basically Ramona like, got
all. You want to go? I used to party at John John.
That's kind of hard because John John and Madonna, or John John and who else was it? Or is dead.
John John and Madonna was John. Madonna was the other person.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, so I thought that. So then, you know, Ramona's like, enough. Cameras off. Where's the producer? Which I thought was hilarious that Ramona didn't know the producer's name. She just was calling him the producer.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so you don't even know these people who you spent all this time with, Ramona.
She's like, help, basically.
Basically. And she, when they went to Mexico, because right after that, they end up going to Mexico, so they have to make nice. And she's like, look, I didn't know we had all these. I've never had this many servants before. I'm like, she said servants. Oh, my God.
And she says this at the reunion, and I know, like, it's a little bit true, and, you know, she's so old school, like, using words like that. Like,
yeah, I mean, remember?
The word should have never been right when she was taught that word, but that's just the word that she learned 60 years ago for, like,
no, it's true.
The help.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I remember when Kris Jenner got her ass handed to her because she said, because you're an Indian giver.
Oh, God.
And, like, it's like, I get it. You shouldn't say it now, but I understand that's what you always said it. Like, it was not ill malice intended. And I'm like, do we need to destroy this woman and try to cancel her? Because she, let's teach her a lesson and keep it moving. You know, that's kind of the moment I felt like we needed to do the same. Yeah. But
also, like, this season, it's like Ramona's really only just warming up with her offensive behavior. She takes it to the next level next season.
Oh my God, yeah. And that was when it became not okay, you know? So I get it. But Dorinda was just very, very angry. And, you know, so they they head to Mexico, and you would think they'd be in a wonderful tropical place. Leah's never been. And Dorinda, still, she just was like, not okay. She fucking went in on basically everybody at some point. Like that time when they were doing the breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. That kind of pissed me off. I'm like, if I was Leah and Sonia, I was so team Leah and Sonia on that. We're sitting here at the table alone. We chose the location to have our coffee and do our morning business. You guys decided to come sit with us when you saw what we were doing. If you wanted to have a fucking breakfast that was all like chatty chatty, then go sit in a formal dining room, not at the random table outside I'm sitting at doing my fucking shit.
Yeah, that's how I sort of felt about it too. It's like, I can see why, because she might have been the last person to show up to the breakfast, so maybe she didn't know.
Who, Dorinda?
Dorinda. Because I think that, because Sonia saw her with, Leah was at the table first, and then Sonia was like, oh, let me go get my iPad. I have to work on my invitations. Mm-hmm. And then I think like two other people came down, and then Dorinda.
That's
Dorinda
when Lou and Rope, you're right,
triggered.
Lou came, and then Ramona came, and they said something to them.
Yeah.
And that's when they were like, no, we were doing our shit first, and the girls were kind of like, okay. And then when Dorinda came and said something, then Luann and Ramona jumped on Dorinda's bandwagon, and then they realized, oh, whoa, wait. We're waking the beast. I didn't think that she was going to take it here this early. So then they started to retract their statements. But by then, Dorinda was already on a fucking kick.
She already started.
She started. And then they're like out in town somewhere, and Hannah calls. And then they like say something to her, and Dorinda's like totally a hypocrite. And then she was like, oh, this is my daughter. This is my daughter. And like, you know, she was like, oh, sweetie, I'm so proud of you. What are they going to make you do? Like asking all, like, she was just like so extra.
Yeah. Like she was like, just like being like cunty with the way that she was talking on the phone to her daughter at that
Hannah,
point.
You know, Hannah was on the other line of that phone being like, mom, what are you doing right now? Mom, stop it right now. And Dorinda was
like, reel it in, mom, cool it.
Yeah, like I already could see that because Hannah's so level-headed and awesome. That's so. I also have to say this. I have a newfound appreciation and love for Hannah.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about her at first.
Me neither.
I like it though.
And then like how everybody talked about her eyebrows at like on the first time when we first met her, I just started following her, and I love how she references her eyebrows in her bio. And I'm like, oh my God, her fucking eyebrows are fucking kind of amazing when I look at them. Like, it's so interesting to kind of to look at her. And I'm like, she's almost like a European, like, model, like so cool of a vibe. Like, she reminds me like almost of a cool vibe, like Victoria, like Luann's daughter. Right.
Yeah.
Very like artistic. But she's a scholar.
Yeah. I love how that's like what Dorinda specifically keeps saying. Like she's a scholar.
She's a scholar because she is. I mean, and then you know she remember that one season she wrote that beautiful thing about Richard. Like she really is a sweet girl. So, but yeah, basically everybody is fucking crazy this season. They're calling Dorinda an alcoholic. Fucking.
Well, because then on this Mexico trip, that's when Sonia does her like, I've reached my limit.
Oh, because
she's drinking like rosé and Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And so, I like how even Dorinda even sort of was like acting almost like it's a normal thing. She's like, oh, she's just having a little bit of Coca-Cola and rosé.
Luann's like, first of all, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Luann's all of us. She's like, no.
Well, actually, like,
I'm the alcoholic here, and I won't be drinking that.
Well, it was actually Leah, because they say that, and Leah goes, what? That's gross. And then Luann was starting to talk, and she goes, no, actually, yes. First of all, that's disgusting. Second of all, something's wrong. Like, that's not okay. And the fact that Ramona was encouraging Sonia to come to dinner, that's not a good friend. Where Dorinda was like, put her ass to that bitch, like all it will take is for you to say go to sleep and she will go to sleep, but you're encouraging it and letting her get her hair oh my God when she was naked.
It's just too good.
Oh my God, my husband walked into the room right as, like, and he walks in front of the television. I'm laying in the bed, right as Sonia drops her towel and she's just full blown fucking naked. He goes, "Whoa, that's an old ass." I was like, "Yep, it is." Didn't look that great. But anyways,
I just loved that scene. I know Sonya needed to reel it in, and then like on that same trip, Ramona like is like trying to be like, "You guys are just like, the reason you're having trouble is you're like on meds and
she wasn't
drinking." And it's like, she, well, apparently she was on a diuretic, which it's like, I guess maybe
water pill.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe it. She must have been in something else. But yeah, they say it was the diuretic. And then she's not focused on the shit that Sonia's consuming, Ramona, but she's focused in talking about Leah and her bipolar medication, and that's probably why she's acting crazy, because she's drinking on it when, come to find out, Leah's not on medication for her bipolar disorder. So it's like, shut the fuck up. And like, and then that's another part,
like, also like, yeah,
stop talking about my vagina. Like, that's what she was like, stop talking about my pussy. And Ramona's like, ah.
She's like, you, for someone who doesn't like to talk about it, you sure do talk to every single person about it.
I don't even like that word. I mean, it's just, yeah. So, you know, you got to love Ramona, and they have the whole weird mother-daughter vibe that Ramona's faking. But, you know, I did notice it when they were in Mexico, when they were going down in that cave and Leah was kind of scared. Sonia was watching on like a spectator, and I was watching Ramona like smiling, like almost like she would have done for Avery, where she was like, good job, you're doing great, you got this. You know, like, so, like trying to encourage her, when Sonia was like, oh, fuck that, I'll see you downstairs on the stairs, you know, like shaking her ass at her and stuff. Like, Ramona really did have a little bit of a motherly thing with her sometimes. It was weird. I didn't like it.
It was very much like a love hate situation. Like, yeah. It definitely feels like a mom with a rebellious teenager.
And you definitely see Leah's mommy issues brought to like, wait, can we touch really quickly? Because we're almost at the end of the season. But one thing I did want to touch on was how fucking rude Ramona was to Leah's sister.
I know.
And Leah threw the ravioli, and that fucking guy from Arkansas, and Ramona like laughed so hard. And then that guy was such a prick to Leah. Like, that whole fucking scene was wild.
It was so wild. And I can sort of see why she disinvited her, but she should have never said yes in the first place.
All she had to do was say, hey girl, would totally love to meet your sister. Let's not do it this trip. Let's like do it when we can really get to know her. It's gonna be her.
Like, she lives in the city. We can meet her.
But why did she put her sister in that situation? It was like her wanting that acceptance from Ramona. She put her sister in a shitty position. Her sister was like, I haven't fucking left my kid once. This is the first time I'm leaving my kid. It's already difficult for me. And you got me around these bitches who are blatantly being mean to me. Like, yeah. So it was like, Leah, protect your sister here, because you're putting her in a bad situation. You're throwing her to the wolves. Throwing her to the wolves. And I didn't like that. And then
that also, I mean, she really only go, like, it sort of sucks in some of these situations, and this is sort of what happened with like Aviva when she came on the trip. It's like all of these women had the same opinion, but somehow Ramona is the main person that's presenting the information about like, oh, we're not doing plus ones, because that's exactly what Luann and Sonya were saying. They were like, we don't bring more people, like, this is like, it's for the girls. But like, no, I mean, I can also see like why there would be some reservations, because it's also like, this one bitch is crazy enough. We don't need another one just like her.
I know, but she wasn't like that though. But they didn't even want to give her a chance. And that to me was it. But it's like, you needed to be a better sister. You needed to be a better sister, Leah. You threw your sister to the wolves, and these women owe you and her nothing, quite frankly. So, I mean, right, when it comes down to it. But I was like, okay, you guys are bitchy. So I liked when Leah and I fucking knew it. Like, with Leah in that moment, I related to her when I watched it the second time, because when she, you see Leah get up from her seat and she goes and she sits down right in front of Ramona and she's waiting a second to giving Ramona one more chance and not be a straight bitch. And Ramona didn't give a shit. And Leah was just like protective of her sister, picked up that ravioli and just whipped that shit at her. And it was, it just Elise going, Ramona, it's everywhere. It's all. And Ramona just like slowly takes the ravioli off her face. She's like, no, there's literally black fucking shit all over your face. What was it? It's been like
spinach. Yeah, that's what I was guessing.
It was so good.
She wasn't really even that fazed by it though.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that she would have like gotten up and started being wild, but she just sort of took it and
yeah, no, I thought that was actually pretty hilarious. So
one of my other random favorite scenes from the season was when Luann went to go and have lunch or whatever at Leah's house. And the producer's like, so what'd you think of Leah's house? And she's like, oh, well, it's, you know, something like she's very humble.
I love how humble she is.
Yeah.
That's what she said. I love how humble she is. Yeah, it's like, but Leah, come on. You had a dining room table. You couldn't let the countess sit at your dining room table and eat. Like, you had a table. It's not like you didn't
have a table. Why are you sitting on this little tiny couch with a little tiny table?
Yeah, it's one thing if you're like sitting there in some cozy clothes with your girl and legs kicked up with a glass of wine. That's one thing, a bottle of wine and glasses on the table, but you literally had like a sushi fucking meal like on this little ass table. Like
some sort of like Asian meal with like a lot of different like components.
And, yeah, like, there was like all types. Yeah, it was like you needed an area to spread it out. So yeah. I felt like that was a disrespect just to the food alone, but you know. But I mean, season 12 was a pretty decent season, I think. Is there anything else that we wanted to touch on the act? Oh my God, wait! We forgot about the fucking text message that Ramona sent to Dorinda on the group, okay? So Dorinda gets the shits in Mexico, right? She gets sick as fuck and basically I died when she's like, my room smells like a barn. And Sonia goes, this is how my room smells all the time. I didn't even notice it. And Luann walks in the door and she goes, what's wrong? And they're like, Dorinda's sick. And she goes, oh my God, I smell it. And then Dorinda's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Luann's like, I'm going to go get the Chanel room spray. Don't worry. And like Dorinda was just mortified. And Sonia's like, pull up your dress, lay on the towel and just lay there. Then they flash to Sonia with her diapers on coming back from Cartagena and they all start talking about how they all had the shits at Cartagena.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. I was like, and then Sonia Dorinda goes, I shit on the floor trying to reach for my dress. And Ramona goes, I don't need to know about you shitting on the floor. Sonia goes, I know about you shitting on the floor. And Ramona goes, well, we were in Cartagena. Everybody was shitting.
I was like, we're in Mexico, so it's like, give her a break.
You gotta love our Roni girls always talking about the shit. So it was just fitting that Dorinda ended the because she was the only one who wasn't shitting crazy. At least she was shitting at Cartagena because she said she was never the same since then. But I don't remember her being super sick at Cartagena. It was more like Luann and Ramona, I remember.
Because it was so bad this season that she stayed home. She didn't even go to dinner with them.
I know. Yeah. So that was funny. But.
Like, just imagine, like, I have to stay home because I might shit my pants.
Literally. And then she goes, Dorinda goes, it's ruined a lot of really, like, fun moments for me. And she's like, I'm not joking, like, for real. Like, but we see when they're, so, like, the next day or the day after, because Dorinda was wearing her Roseanne pants. That was when she wore her classic, like, they looked like a quilt type of pants, but they were really cool and sparkly, and she got them from London. But that was when Ramona sends a group text message with an article, which, come on, Ramona, that's a real cunt move to send a text message with an article. Go fuck yourself.
What was it? It was like anger management or something, basically.
And it's like,
because what did Dorinda send back?
Wait, the best part about it was is that Ramona left Leah off the group chat, number one. Which sent Leah for a spiral. It's such a savage fucking bitchy move. Love it. Number two, Dorinda replies with articles about like Ramona fighting with Margaret Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Dumbledore. I mean, it was just so good. It was just so good. So
I love her so much for that. Like,
and then once Leah finds out, she's like, wait, what are you guys talking about? And then they're all like, the message. And then Leah's like, what? Why wasn't I on the message? Like, you were doing it to be passive aggressive and on purpose. So then Leah's so upset. She's got her own issue with Ramona. She can't, like, it was just so funny to watch that whole dinner table.
Well, because just imagine, like, at that point, she's probably also realizing, like, well, shit, they probably, like, talk about all sorts of things in this group chat that I'm not a part of.
And the group chat just, like, got started that day. Yeah. Yeah. No. But I thought it was a really good, good way to end our Bravo Critics Roni rewatch. And we
of course had to go out with one like last big bang of onion from Dorinda, because Sonia had her drag queen bingo party.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
To do like a little like homage toast. And it's like, I'm so glad Tinsley introduced me. Like, not even saying I'm so glad I know Tinsley, just saying that she's glad that Tinsley introduced her. Dorinda just loses it. Don't do that. I'm not doing that shit. Don't say Tinsley Mortimer when she nearly ruined our show and breached a contract.
Yeah, she brought.
She's even in like Luann's face too.
Yeah, that was tough to watch. That I'm glad you just brought that up, Ricky, because I would have totally forgot to touch on that. That was, I think, maybe the final few slams of the hammer to the nail, because that was just like. And Dorinda doesn't normally break the fourth wall, but she. Really, like, I think the producers or NBC and Bravo might have felt like she kind of broke it in a disrespectful way, because she's like talking contracts and shit. And you are really right. Like, Bethany did the same thing.
Yeah. Bethany, more or less, like, the way she like dipped out like a week early or a week before filming is just as bad as what Tinsley did. Because I'm, you know, we've talked about this before. And you know, when they put together these shows, like, they plan for months, like, the different events that they're going to do and, like, sort of, like, general storylines for each person. You know, like, oh, this season I'm going to try to find my dad, or, you know.
I think if Bethany was there. About my
sobriety, but it's like, I don't know what that would have been like.
Well, if Bethany was there, what do you think? I don't necessarily think that the season would have transpired. Or maybe the evolution, or it would have gone as bad, the relationship between Dorinda and Tinsley. I think Bethany would have been able to maybe help diffuse Dorinda a little bit in terms of that. I mean, we saw Bethany chimed in on it last season. She definitely added fuel to the fire with that whole like call Scott thing. I really feel like Tinsley did it to herself, but I don't think that Dorinda would have gone as off the rails if Bethany was there. I just really don't know, you know, but
I agree. I mean, and we probably wouldn't have had to have Leah, so
yep, and that's season 13 too. Yeah, I really think that had Bethany not left this season, our show may have survived.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that she was the reason,
we're not gonna go as far as to say that she is the only reason the show could have survived, but it's just purely off of the aspect of planning.
And the direction,
the way she did.
Well, and she pulled the rug from underneath them. So we're like, kind of fuck you, Bethany, right now, because you pulled the rug out from underneath them, where basically they had to scramble to redirect, and they redirected and they missed. They missed their mark, and it just didn't fucking work in season 13. They panicked. They paused everybody. And then they saw how it was such an uproar with the fans. And then I think they realized, oh, shit, we made a mistake. Let's try to throw Sonia and Luann at them. And then we salivated at that. And now we want more. And then they tossed that little nugget of legacy. Did Bravo even think of that? Or did we think of that? The Bravo fans. You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, let's do this. And then all this weird shit happened with the new Roni cast. And it's like, we want to like the new Roni cast, but you can't take away what we love and give us some shit we don't want. Like, so you need to give us both simultaneously. And
that's like the thing is like, I don't like, I just hate to know that like Roni legacy will not like ever like evolve. Cause if it's only going to be like, you know, anyone that's ever been on the show up to season 13 of Real Housewives of New York, like, that doesn't give you like a lot of direction to go in, especially because I mean, like, Alex is in Australia. You know, Kristen lives in like LA now.
It gives us a short shelf life.
Yeah. And so it does give me a little bit of concern. Like, I don't know if they might try to like bring in some of the friends of that have been around all of these years too and try to give them like some more roles. I don't know. But it's just sort of sad to know that like they're not gonna, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe they will be like, you know what? We're gonna add some cast members to this, like down the line.
Well, you know what, Ricky? I think that when we started this Bravo Critics Roni rewatch, you know, it started off as a web series. It evolved into a podcast. We had no clue that Roni was going to be canceled and ending and that a Roni legacy was going to be transpiring. We just simply started this podcast because we love Roni, and it goes to show that so does everybody else, because we're going to be getting all this extra Roni content, hopefully in the next year. So we could just cross our fingers, hope for the fucking best, know that we will definitely be talking about the fucking legacy Roni when that finally comes, and we'll definitely be talking about the new Roni Gales when they come, probably in a different capacity, definitely not in probably a full-blown rewatch type of situation, but it will definitely be a topic of conversation because Roni is just like in our soul, right? Yeah.
But we are Roni.
We are Roni. I mean, the Roni is us, right? But I want to do a few things. We want to just like, we didn't get to do a Christmas, New Year's kind of episode with you guys. So we wanted to tack on like a few extra little things just to kind of wrap up our Roni Bravo Critics rewatch 2022 year. So let's talk about our favorite trips, Ricky. Like off the top of your head, let's like rapid fire this shit. What is your favorite trip of all time from Roni?
It's probably still Morocco. I think it's one of the most underrated trips of the entire franchise.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I
mostly Kelly is so funny on that trip. Ramona and Sonia are hilarious. Alex is wild and out. You know, Jill's herself too. The Countess is like full Countess mode in Morocco, you know.
That's the one where Ramona's. Is that the one where Ramona and Jill get an argument and Jill's like in her capri pants and Ramona's like,
yeah, crying on her
bed. In the bed in her negligee. Yeah, that was, I probably wouldn't even have given that as much of a chance in the second time in the rewatch if you didn't pump me up so much for it. So, definitely Morocco is not one of my favorite ones, but I get why it is for you. I definitely see it. I have to say, my favorite one off the top of my head has got to probably be season 7 Turks and Caicos, Eggs a la France. You ain't attacking me, I'm attacking you bitches. You know, like that whole thing. I really enjoyed that. The whole Dorinda Heather argument and the
fuck. Because that season has to be like probably one of the top seasons too. Yeah. Because it's like Bethany came back, which like forever changed the show.
We got Dorinda, the queen.
We got Dorinda. Like, yeah. That's when they like really were like beefing up these casts.
Those to me, season 7, season 8, season 9, like peak fucking Roni. Okay, rapid fire. Favorite season?
I might randomly go for season 5.
Really?
Because that's sort of when they revamped the show. And I really did like Carol, and I felt like it was getting a little bit stale with Jill. You know, we didn't need Bethany. Aviva was a great villain for television. I was annoyed with her by her second season, but like that was truly one of the most irrational people they could have found.
She was okay. She was, she's probably one of my least faves. If I had to pick a season, I'm going to pick season 8 with Jules.
Yeah. I
really enjoyed that season when she hurt her hoo-ha. Her kids don't give a shit about anything. All they want is Sour Patch Kids. Like, I love...
That's a good Berkshire's year, too.
Good Berkshire's year. Her dad, Jules' dad is dying, but Luann was called a whore. We got the hostess with the mostest. I mean, we got so much in that season. So I really think that might have been my favorite season.
Yeah, I could see that. I could even possibly throw in like season like 9 too. 9 was also a really good one.
Yeah, 9 was a good one. That's what we got Tinsley? Yeah.
Yeah, we got Tinsley that year.
Yeah, we got Tinsley. So, okay. If you had to pick, you can include obviously season 13 if you want, but we know that you won't. The entire duration of the series, who is your MVP? Favorite, most valuable player?
It's really hard for me. It's really between three people, but I'm going to give it to my girl, Sonya.
Okay.
There's just so many like endearing scenes with her. She does bring a lot of the humor to the show, but the other two that would be, you know, that they're sort of tied with, it's Luann and Dorinda. The three of them, like, that's really like, they make the show.
I thought you were going to say Ramona, actually.
She's important to the story, but she's not MVP material. Who would yours be?
Dorinda, obviously. Yeah. I mean, everything about Dorinda is just like, she is my spirit animal. So
I'm who do you think has had the best character arc over
in the duration of the entire series? The
entire series. Whether they were there for the entire series or not.
Right. Okay. Well, for sure, Lou. Because we met her as a countess, uptight, perfect little family. Then she kind of had her single girl moments, her relationship moments with Tom and Jacques, and then her rock bottom to then something, finding something that truly fills her soul and makes her happy, her cabaret, coming out to the other side. And we know that she's doing well. I mean, Christmas with the Countess just told me that a few weeks ago. I mean,
exactly. Well, and to me, that I completely agree for all of those reasons listed above. She started out as a completely different person, not necessarily in a bad way, but like, she was so pretentious those first couple seasons when she was married to the Count. And I loved her single days so much.
But you know what, Ricky? What you just said right now is every single season or every time a new housewife comes in, every single one of them have said what you just said, like getting to see, oh, I've heard about the Countess, the pretentious side of her, but I've never seen it. Now I'm finally seeing this Countess side they're talking about. Everybody has witnessed it, and it's what makes her so fucking good.
I know, and you have to think about, she's also our only housewife that I know of to have been a housewife, got demoted to friend of, and then came back, and her and Ramona, I mean, now that Ramona stepped out of Legacy, she, like, now Luann is, like, Roni. She's the longest running cast member, even with that little one season off.
I barely even recognized that she was a friend of that season, though, because she was in it so much. She just wasn't in the opening.
She really was. I mean, she was all up in that shit.
Like, what season was that? Like, four? Five?
No, that was season seven, when Bethany came back.
Okay. So that's the season we got Dorinda. So to me,
I think it's because the cast was so big part of it, but from what I recall,
Kristen still there?
Kristen was still there too.
Yeah. And that's when
we recorded that, I was like, wait, did Kristen even go on that trip? And you're like, yeah, she was there.
Yeah. Cause remember, that was when they were laughing at the fuck you dinner. That's the only reason I remember, is cause her and Carol were like, fuck you. But yeah, I think that goes to show that I didn't even realize it until I think you mentioned it on our podcast. Like, oh, fuck, you are right. When we were recording, like, she is a friend of, because she is, now you're saying, she is the core of Roni. I want to ask you, I have one more question. I have one more question. So if you could pick, because we've talked about our legacy, you know, dream teams and all that kind of stuff, right? We even got to hear some of the actual legacy housewives dream teams. But if you could pick one Roni housewife to hang out with in New York City at BravoCon, to go and have dinner and drinks with,
Sonya, hands down.
Okay. Just one-on-one, you and her.
So me and Sonya would tear that fucking city up.
Okay.
But she'd take me to all the best gay bars.
She would.
Sonya has got to be a great, well, I mean, I feel like by the end of the night, you usually sort of have to maybe babysit her, but before she starts going downhill, I feel like she'd be a great wing woman.
I'm so going to have three dirty margaritas with Dorinda. I know that, you know, two tits are great, three are too many, just like martinis, and we're going to have three martinis. That would be my pick for sure. I'm just curious because we're manifesting shit for 2023. So maybe you're going to go to the gay bars with Sonia, and then you're going to call your wife over here and she's going to meet you up over at the gay
bar. It's sort of sad though, because I was actually during BravoCon, I was invited to an outing that was like other gay content creators. But I was sick because I got sick at BravoCon, so I didn't end up going, and Sonia did show up. I've met Sonia before. Sonia was the very first housewife I ever met, but like it just felt like I needed to see her. She's my New York staple now.
You know what, though? You got so much. I don't know if your little soul could have taken any more after the first night you had in BravoCon. I think that you might have exploded. Your body was at maximum capacity.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, this isn't just the end of our Roni rewatch. This is also like the end of the first year doing the podcast.
Is this what we're calling season one?
Yeah, we're going to call it season one.
Fuck it. Everybody's got like seasons. They're like, you know, where I'm like, I don't know. We're doing it by the year, y'all.
Yeah. Maybe we'll figure out a way to break it up more next year. But
we you know, and that's the thing. So let's just like touch on this a little bit. It started as a web series, evolved into a podcast. We used to show video. This now you're just listening to. I think next year we're going to try to put a little bit more video content up. But we're not doing a rewatch next year. We're just going to like critique it. We're going to incorporate some other shit. Maybe like shows we're watching on HBO Max and Paramount Plus and Netflix. And like, I'm like, the thing about it is every episode doesn't have to be a full-blown season, right? Something pops up in pop culture. We want to talk about it. Let's fucking do it, you know? So we're going to kind of fly by the seat of our pants next year. And
we're going to see where the wind takes us.
Yeah. And
we hope you guys
be gone with the wind fabulous.
Because it's just like, I feel like, you know, maybe I will watch Roni again. And you might hear some of my thoughts on another rewatch in a random episode next year. Who knows?
You might catch us on, like, I don't know, a break on, like, say, Martin Luther King weekend in a couple weeks where we're like, oh, my God, we just fucking binged watch three seasons of New Jersey. Let's talk about it. Like, you never know what Bravo is going to put on where we binge accidentally one day or what's going to happen in the world. So, like we're saying, next year is going to be new. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. But if there's something you guys want us to talk about, always tell us. But I have to ask you, because we're closing up our first year, and I feel like this was our baby, and we like grew and developed and evolved, and we had fun guests. We got to interview Dorinda Medley,
like one of the greatest moments of the year. I was
Dorinda Sincala Medley.
That was my highlight for the year, for sure.
That was my highlight. I think that was because I was going to ask you, what was your Bravo critic favorite moment of the year? It was her, right?
It was definitely her.
Yeah. But we got to talk to Kelly Caloran Bensimone twice. We got to interview Chris Medina, which was super fun. We talked with, you know, Brian from Candy and the Gang. We got to do, we got to have Black by Jax with us a few times and talk Winter House and all. We're going to have to bring her back for sure. Yeah. Especially when VPR comes on, because she's going to be my little Vanderpump chat girl, I think. So yeah, I mean, tell us who your favorite guests were, guys. We want to know.
Yeah. You guys don't give us enough,
feedback.
Feedback. So, you know, we love that.
You know, and we see you listening.
That feedback too.
Yeah. We're seeing the numbers, guys. Like, you guys are listening. It's crazy. Like, we put out an episode and you guys are listening like right away. And that makes us super happy that you love the content that we're putting out, but like, talk to us, help me help you.
Exactly. And so you can find myself at That Bravo Gay, Ariel at Bravo and T, or our collective account at Bravo Critics. So drop us a line there. Leave us a comment on our podcast. Make sure that you're subscribing it and rating it. Just give it all the love, you know, download the episodes. And until next time, guys.
Cheers. And happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year's. And just one last time, I'm so sad about Roni being over.
It's the end of an era. But you know what? You can't get rid of us that easily. So, bye, y'all.
Bye.